Amen. Ezekiel 34, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with fierce force and with cruelty have you ruled them." Boy, I sure wouldn't want to be a shepherd like that. That's terrible, isn't it? Verse 5 says, "And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandereth through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." I want you to notice that last phrase, "and none did search or seek after." He's talking about his sheep. He's upset with the shepherds. And then he says, "and none did search or seek after them." Verse 11, "For he says, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I." Now this is the Lord's talking. "Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." Now verse 6 said that the shepherds, none would search and none would seek. But verse 11, he said, "I will. I'll go after them. I'll both search and seek them out. As a shepherd out of his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy day and dark day." In verse 16, the last verse in this chapter, again, God says, "I will." Really, notice what he says in verse 13, "and I will." Verse 14, "I will." Verse 15, "I will." Verse 16, "I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away." The shepherds have not done it. God said, "I'll do it. I'll bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick." One more scripture in the book of St. John, chapter 4, please. John chapter 4 and verse 3. "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Would you help me pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy. I need your strength today, Lord. I need your help. Oh, God, Brother Perryman has preached so wonderful this morning. Told us how all the good things about Christ. I pray, Lord, for a few moments you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And Lord, help me to say this morning exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say. Nothing more and nothing less. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I do appreciate the honor, Brother Dean, for allowing us to preach this morning. Thank you very, very much. It's an honor to be asked to preach here. I want to preach this morning from these texts on a God that will go out of his way. Ezekiel here in 34, he's very upset with the shepherds. Of course, I understand biblically that this really entire chapter, chapter 34, is actually a prophetic chapter, even to the future, even in front of us. But there's a concept in this chapter that I feel like very prevalent. I feel like the Lord has dealt with me about to try to minister this morning about is a God that will go out of His way. You know, if you're describing a friend and you're trying to compliment your friend, one of the things that you will say is he will go out of his way to help you. In other words, he don't mind being inconvenienced. If he's a true friend, he'll go out of his way to help you. Can I tell you this morning, we have a God who doesn't care to be inconvenienced. Because the Bible said that, I know the shepherds haven't done this, but he said, I will both search and seek after. Huh? Amen. I want to talk this morning on a God that will go out of his way. We have a creator, amen, of heaven and earth that will go out of his way just to help you. We've got a savior this morning that didn't mind paying the price for a soul. Amen. One of the first examples I think of in the Bible of God going out of his way is found in Genesis chapter number 3. Of course, famous chapter in the Bible. And I was hearing, listening to somebody earlier this week, and they said Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most profoundest, strongest chapters in the entire Bible, because it describes just the human race and God and Satan and wrong and right and things of that nature. But we know that story, how that Adam and his wife took the forbidden piece of fruit that God had told them not to take of. The Bible then says that they heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day, and they went and hid themselves among the trees in the garden. But we know as Bible readers that the first thing really that they should have done, as soon as this wife had taken and had sinned, she should have went running and looking for God. God, where art thou? God, God, I've sinned. I've done wrong. I need help, God. Amen. But she doesn't do that. And God comes looking for them, and he comes walking in the cool of the day. And they hear the voice of the Lord walking, and Adam and his wife hid themselves among the trees in the garden. Amen. And the Bible said that God said, where art thou, Adam? Amen. I preached a message one time on the God's first words to the first sinners. Amen. In the Bible is, where art thou? Now, if you got a Dake Bible, inside of Dake's Bible concerning that verse, he says that God doesn't know everything. And so therefore, amen, he asked where Adam was at. Well, I disagree with that statement. Can I hear an amen? God knew where Adam was at. God wanted Adam to see where Adam was at. Amen. But see, that's where God went out of his way, and he went looking and he went searching for somebody that had went astray. Amen. I mean, when you read that text in Genesis 3, and I won't take time to go there, but God didn't come running in a rush of judgment, but God came walking, not in the midnight, when times in their heart would have been fearful, but he come walking in the cool of the day, amen, with love and compassion. I'm preaching this morning on a God that will go out of his way. I didn't know what Brother Perryman was going to preach, but your brother-in-law sitting there drunk in that old car, walking out of that bar. Amen. I thought, man, that's a good example. Amen. And a gentleman come up to him, looked him in the head through the window and said, Jesus loves you. Amen. You're talking about a drunk? You mean God would waste his time on a drunk? Yeah, that's the God that will go out of his way. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. This morning, I want to preach a little bit on a God that will go out of his way to help you. Amen. When you look at Abraham, of course we know Abraham because we're in the post. You know, we've got the Old and the New Testament, and so we've read the entire life of Abraham, and we know the great father of faith. But in the beginning, it wasn't so. Amen. Abraham's father was an idolater. Amen. I'm telling you, when God wanted to build a nation, and so since God wanted to create a nation, he had to have a people. In order to have a people, he had to have a family. In order to have a family, he had to have a man. And who would choose a son of an idolater? But you see, God went out of his way, because God did not just see a son of an idolater, but he seen someone, amen, that would follow him, amen, and he'd serve him, amen, discreetly. God went out of his way and touched the heart and called the great patriarch of old, Abraham. God went out of his way. One of the next times you see God going out of his way, and there's many more, I don't have time to get to them all, but it's in Genesis chapter 19. It's concerning the story of Lot. You know how that God said, I've had it up to here. I'm going to destroy the city in 40. I'm going to destroy it with fire and brimstone. Amen. And God told Abraham upon the earth. And Abraham had a nephew named Lot there. And so Abraham began to plead and intercede with God about his family in Sodom. Amen. And we've come to find out it come down to 10 righteous, and there wasn't 10 righteous in the city. Amen. But God being so merciful, and God going out of his way, sent two angels down there, did he not? Amen. They spent the night with Lot and his wife, and early the next morning, amen, the word mercy, for the first time in the entire Bible, the first 19 chapters, you don't find the word mercy until Genesis chapter 19, until that angel, amen, takes a hold of Lot's daughter's hands, and then the other angel takes a hold of Lot's wife, and then takes a hold of Lot's hand, and the Bible said in Genesis 19, the Lord being merciful unto Lot. What was that? That was God going out of his way. God could have said, you shouldn't be there to start with, Lot. God could have said, Lot, you knew better. You chose this. It's your baby. You rock it. But that's not the way God deals. God will go out of his way. You see, Lot did not deserve, amen, such a treatment. Amen. But God goes out of his way. Amen. To prove that in the New Testament, there's a scripture in Matthew chapter 18. Amen. In verse 17 says, if a man having 100 sheep and one of them gone, what's the next word? Astray. Now here's 99 good sheep. You're proud of these sheep. Safe. Following the shepherd. But the Bible said if there's one, amen, that goes astray out of the 100, notice what he said that he would do. He said, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth? That's what he was doing last night. He was going in this service. Amen. As Brother Steve was preaching last night, he was trying to find that one. Amen. It wasn't a shouting sermon last night. So us saints had to sort of set over to the side. Amen. While God God was searching and looking for that one. But I don't mind, do you? If God wants to take a service and go out of his way, amen, I'll sit back and deal with that one God that's gone astray. That's what God was doing last night. He was going out of his way, amen, to try to rescue somebody that was going to sink. Woo! Notice what the Bible said. He'll goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray. And Luke 15:4, he says he'll go into the wilderness. Now, Brother Perryman, he preached great, Brother Perryman. It's hard to come in behind you. You really just feel like giving an altar call. But boy, you ever gone astray? Privately? I'm not talking about adultery. I'm not talking about gross sin, but you know what I'm saying? You just get cold on the Lord, or withdraw, or, you know, get caught up in business, get caught up in just whatever, you know, and you just get cold on God. Amen. But yet you're driving down the road. The Spirit of God comes in the car or the truck. Amen. You feel the tears streaming down and you feel like a worm. You feel so unworthy. You say, God, I don't understand why you're even blessing me, Lord. In my heart, I'm so far from you. In my heart, God, I've been busy here and yonder. I don't want to backslide, God, but I've just grown cold. Has anybody ever had God to do you that way? I'll raise both hands and just feel God, and you feel so unworthy. You know, nobody knows about it. You come to church and you smile, amen, and you put on that holiness smile and maturity and praise God, hallelujah, and you know how to wave your arm just right, amen, but inside, amen, you're just cold and just lonely, amen, but yet you feel the Spirit of God, amen, just breathe on your soul, just like in this camp meeting, amen, some, like Brother Perryman said, has come to get help, and I would to God that God would help somebody this morning. I want to preach, amen, on a God that will go out of his way to help you. I was preaching a revival in 2005. I'm watching the clock, Brother Head. I was preaching a revival in 2005 and at Elba, Alabama. You ever been there? It's a spot in the road, you know. Famous place. Amen. And I was preaching revival there, and Brother Alan Richards, and there was probably, I don't know, they might have been 30 people that night there, and was having a good little meeting, and one night I was preaching, and through the course of that message, I wasn't preaching on the love of God, but somehow I was coming across God loves you, God cares, just over and over, sort of like Brother Perryman did this morning. And I was just, it wasn't even on my subject. And even while I was preaching, I was thinking, man, just move on. Why you keep talking about God loves you? And I just kept right on. You know, subconsciously in your mind, sometimes you talk to yourself, or I do, maybe it's because I'm from Kentucky, I don't know. But I just sometimes just move on, you know, just get over it. Just preach on. It's not your main subject, but I just kept, God loves you. You know, God cares about you. God loves you. And I just quote scripture and preach a while, and I come back. I'm telling you, God loves you. He cares. It don't matter who you are here. God loves you. God cares. Well, I didn't know that there was a 50-some-year-old lady with a bonnet on top of her head with long sleeves and a dress that was there that was backslid on God and felt like God did not care. Amen. But when I gave the altar call that night, amen, Mary came to the altar and gloriously prayed through and got saved. Amen. At the end of the conclusion of that service, Brother Richard said, Mary, would you like to testify? And so Mary pulls out this piece of paper that I have in my hand. And she says, amen, today, while I was at the dentist's office, she said, I took this piece of paper out and I began to write. And this is at the top. And this is in her own handwriting. It says God cannot love someone like me. You see that at the top? And I got it dated the 5th. Amen. May the 2nd of 05. She said, I wrote this today, sitting in a dentist's office. God cannot love someone like me, but here's a preacher from all the way from Kentucky, and while I'm preaching, I'm thinking, get off of it. But God went out of his way. Amen. He knew she was going to be there that night. Amen. She wrote 5 things. Number one. One reason is for I've done so wrong that I can't love myself. Number 2, God can't forgive me because I can't forgive myself. Number 3, God won't listen to me because I'm too busy to listen to others. Number 4, God hurts because I hurt others. Number 5, I am such a bad person that God can't love me. I wouldn't want him to waste his time on me to love me. Amen. I'm not worth it. She read that, I thought to myself, self, you need to get that. You can use that down the road while you're evangelizing. Because there's a lot of more people feel like that, and they come to church and the devil's beat them over the head. Amen. Because they went astray. Amen. And maybe done some bad things. Amen. But can I tell you that we got a God that will leave the 99. He'll go out of his way. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. You might be here. Amen. Come to this meeting and your fingertips just barely hanging on, and you're feeling like you're fixing to plunge off into the abyss. But can I tell you that the Bible says underneath us are the everlasting arms of Jehovah. I'm telling you, amen, what you need to do this morning is just fall into the hands of the Son of God, because God has come out of his way to help you this morning. Let your hands and worship God this morning.
Thank God.
Woo! I was pastoring in the hills of Kentucky, Hazard, Kentucky, several years ago. Who's been there? I thought I heard somebody say they've been there. And I was pastoring, and we had a broadcast there, and radio broadcast every Sunday at 4 o'clock. And I've done it a little live. I would do it live right at the end. I would do it live for 30 minutes, and right at the end of it, I'd tell my phone number and tell my address every Sunday. I'd teach Sunday school, preach Sunday morning, broadcast for church at night at 6. And one day, I felt just really brokenhearted to preach on being brokenhearted. And I preached from that scripture about he cometh to, what is that scripture in Isaiah, to bind up the brokenhearted. And I preached about being brokenhearted, Brother Head. And just really, and just preach, you know, you only got 20-something minutes, so you just give your best shot, and you know, you get in your radio anointing. You know what I'm talking about? You just get in your radio anointing and just go at it, you know, and just get it all in and condense, Reader Digest version. Just, you know, just. Anyway, so I got in that, and I preached about it. Well, that was on April the 25th of 03. And about a couple of weeks later, I get a letter in the mail, and this is the letter right here I get in the mail, and it's from Red Onion State Prison from Pound, Virginia. And I opened up the letter. I said, wow, man, got a letter from prisoner. I never got anything like that. And I opened it up, and he began to tell. He said, dear preacher, he said, on certain day, amen, I just heard your sermon on being brokenhearted on 101.1 FM WSCS 4 PM today. He said, my name is Jeff Romaro, and I'm 31 years old. I've been incarcerated since I was 21 and 93. He said, been here about 10 years. He said, I'm up here in Red Onion State Prison in Pound, Virginia. To cut to the chase, he said, and to be brief as possible, he said, I came from a loving family. Mom and Dad always provided a safe home home for me, made sure that I was graduated high school, even sent me to college to be an RN nurse. But because of partying, amen, he said, I dropped out. He said, high on crack cocaine one night, I killed my mother and my father, and I burnt the house down. He said, you don't have any idea what being brokenhearted is. He said, I'm absolutely crushed. And he spelled crushed with capital letters. Amen. But he later says in the letter, the love of God, amen, though I can't come to your church, he said, these bars cannot keep the love of God away from me. He said, I heard the love of God come through there. And he said, I want to tell you, I got saved. Amen. You mean a God, amen, would go out of his way for a young boy that would kill his own mama? I'm talking about a God that will go out of his way. Wait a minute, what's the hellhole you were in when God found you? Where did the devil have you at? Some of you right on verge of divorce. Some of you on drugs. Some of you no doubt were alcoholics. Some not whore muggers. I'm telling what some of us was. But I'm glad, I'm thankful we serve a God that will go out of his way just to help me. Woo! Lift your hands and love him this morning. Amen. Oh yes. God that will go out of his way. I'm closing. Somebody swat my phone up here. I don't know what time it is. But I was passing right before I come to Alabama. And in Pineville, Kentucky, one day I was scheduled to go to the hospital, Corbin, Kentucky. And I was going to go by one of the brothers in my church who to work on my truck, just let him check something out. I was supposed to be there like 10 that morning. And I got ready and got ready to leave. Something happened. The phone rang. I had to do something else. And I called Brother King. I said, hey, brother, I can't be there at 10. I'll be there a little later, Lord willing. And then about an hour went by, something else happened. And then something else wouldn't happen. And then I had to do a honeydew job. And then something else happened. And, next thing you know, it's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the day. Unbelievable, just 4 or 5 hours later. And so I called Brother Eddie. I said, can you still look at it? I know it's late. I'm sorry, but I've just been covered over, just boom, everything. But I got to go to Corbin Hospital, so to kill 2 birds with 1 stone, please, can I come by there and let you look at my truck just for a moment? Then I'll swing on. He said, sure, come on by. So I left Pineville, Kentucky, right there close to Barbara. I'm sure Brother Bridges has been in that country. And Barberville Camp Meeting years ago. And right there at Pineville. And I left Pineville and I got on Highway 92 heading toward Williamsburg. And I was supposed to be in there like 10 that morning. This is like 3 or 4 o'clock in the day. I'm about 20 minutes from home, about 10 minutes to his house. I come upon an accident. When I come upon this accident, I'm the first one there on this side of the wreck. There's 2 cars on the other side of the wreck. There's a home health nurse that must have been in the area doing some home health stuff. And there was a guardrail stuck through a windshield of a car that had come through and sticking out the back windshield of the car. And I seen a lady on the pavement there just laying there, moving a little bit, groaning. And I pulled up sort of over in a ditch, and I told the nurse that was just must have been in that area. I said, I'm a clergyman, I'm a pastor, can I help? And I was just thinking of the lady that threw it out of the car, I could tell I just got there. And she said, yes. She said, there's a lady in the car. I could hear a man screaming. She said, there's a lady in the car. She needs help now. Now. And I turned to walk away, and she grabbed my arm and she said, preacher, she don't have no face. Preacher, she don't have no face. And I walked over there to that other side of that car, and the boy was screaming like a 20-year-old boy. I mean, he was just screaming. God help me. And he had his hands on the steering wheel of his car. And his fiance, who was driving the passenger, somehow it had hit her face. swung her around. Her head was just like right here in his, right in front of his chest. And when I walked over, she had no right arm. Her right arm was totally severed from her body. And there was no face. There was no eyes. There was no nose. There was no mouth. There was no form. There was no form of a face whatsoever. I couldn't tell if she was black or white. It was covered in blood. Now, I don't want to get graphic here, but all I could see was a tongue moving. There was nothing. And, he looks up at me, and then I tell this boy, I'm a preacher. I said, I just started talking to the girl. I said, ma'am, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but I'm a preacher. Amen. You know what the Bible said in John chapter 3? For God so loved the world. And I began to quote that scripture. And I said, I don't know if you're saved, if you're lost. I don't know your name, but I can tell you that God loves you. And I began to preach about a minute sermon. Amen. And I said, I want to tell you something. God loves you, and you can call out on His name right now in your heart, in your mind, to get saved if you're not saved. Amen. She died a couple hours later after the wreck. Some of her family called me later, 2 or 3 days, found out that some of her distant family came to my church. Amen. They said, preacher, tell us about what happened. She said, I began to share that what happened with them. And they said, you won't believe. Said, this girl, she's like 19 or 20. Amen. Here's a picture of the funeral thing. Just a beautiful young lady. Amen. And said, but preacher, amen, for 18 years, she lived in a very abusive home. Amen. But about last year or so, she's been out on her own. Finally, amen, had prayed at a church of God, amen, about 2 months before that accident, amen, but she had been sort of slipping back and not coming. I can't help to think, and I'm closing with this, amen, though she could not tell me, I couldn't hear a testimony, but I know that I was supposed to be there at 10 o'clock that morning, amen, and things after thing after thing got in my way, amen, until later that day. I can't help believe, but somewhere in eternity, amen, that God went out of His way for a young lady, amen, that had been mistreated all of her life, amen, but was coming down to her last moments of time. Oh, God, that would go out of His way. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but I'm telling you,